I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning comes from John 17, verses 6 through 19. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now that they know everything you have given me is from you, for the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth I came from you, and they have believed you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given them, so they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so they may have joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so they also may be sanctified in truth. May God add his blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Jean. How many of you happened to see back in the day, in the 70s, the TV miniseries called Roots? That was quite an event. In fact, it was such a wonderful event, and it first aired in 1977. I was just a baby, but I remember a little bit. It still has the second most watched overall series finale in U.S. television history. That's how big of an event it was. It was an amazing story. It was a well-told story, and it was a heartfelt story. In fact, it was so well received that after Roots, people became interested in their genealogies. And there was a rush on, I got to see where I'm from. I got to find out how I came to be. I got to check my roots out. And so genealogists became very, very busy people because the world started saying, I want to know. Where did I come from? What are my roots? Well, as you know, as the advent of the laptop computer, desk computer, computers got big, then we started seeing things like Ancestry.com. So people began to go and they started tracing their roots again. Well, then it's gone one step further. Now you can actually have your DNA taken and they can tell you how far back you go. You could be, who knows, caveman. I don't know. But they can go way back. They can tell you a lot. Fact is, most people want to know their family history, and that makes sense. My family traced our roots back on my dad's side. It's Irish, Scottish, and British. On my mother's side, full-blooded German. Talk about conflict. But that's my roots. So you look back and you say, golly, I mean, how many different bloods do I have in me? Many people are very shocked when they do this and they find out they, They have parts of them they never realized were part of them. But getting back to roots, I want to take a close look at our scripture because this has so much to do with roots. Let's see if you can see this. Verse 6, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Lest we have any doubts about where Jesus got his disciples, John says God gave those disciples to him. God gave him those disciples. That includes Judas. God gave them to him. The disciples belong to God. He gave them to Jesus, right? And whose word did the disciples keep? God's word. That's what Jesus says. I gave them your word, and they kept it. Just know the author of John is playing word tricks here. Because when he says he gave them the word, you might remember Jesus is the word made flesh. John tells us that. But he also talks about the word that he gave them, the disciples, and they spread. We call that a double entendre. And John is real good at that. He's playing with that word. The word. I gave them the word. You gave them the word. Jesus is the word, but Jesus gave them the word. And they went out and spread the word. So we got the word all over the place. Point being, no matter whether it's Jesus or speaking the gospel, it came from God. Oh, there's some roots for you. The ministry of Jesus began with God, was given to Jesus, then he gave it to the disciples, and we got roots. Now, I want you to think about this. No other gospel tells us that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't say that. But what do Matthew and Luke do that is different than John, or maybe we should say John do that's different than them? If you look at Matthew and Luke, they give you a genealogy, but it's a human genealogy. Remember that in the beginning? Well, it goes back to so-and-so and thus and begat. We got a lot of begats. And it tells you about everyone on earth that Jesus came from. John doesn't do that. John says Jesus came from God. That's the root. That's the root of the word. God is the root. Matthew and Luke talk about the root of Jesse. John talks about the root of God. Now you may wonder why John takes the time to explain the genesis of the roots of the gospel. But keep in mind that for him, it's really important when it comes to ministry and mission for us to know that part is God, not man. Now, how many of you have been to a funeral? We just had one recently when Ann Bimbo passed. And when you go to a funeral, you'll notice there's flowers. There's cut flowers, and then there's what they call planters. Now, in 38 years, I've been to a lot of funerals. In fact, I did most of those funerals. And I looked at these plants, and when my mother passed last year, we got all those plants. They were brought to the house. Some were taken to the grave. And you may notice there's this huge difference between cut flowers and planters. Anyone know what that difference is? You wait a few weeks, what happens to the cut flowers? They die. Planters are still there. What's the difference? They have roots. The planters have roots. It's roots that keep us alive. And so John says, if you want the Word of God to be the living Word of God, you need to know the roots. So if Jesus came along and never mentioned God and just spoke, would we be here today? If no one knew that he was the Son of God, if no one knew his roots in God, it'd be like cut flowers. Through history, we would have lost what was the Word. So John says, know that the words that Jesus speaks comes from the living God, the root of the gospel. It's very interesting that so often we don't look at the roots in the sense that John brings it to us. Now, I also want to say that's true for our church family. If we're not rooted in the gospel, we'll die. Because we've been cut. We need to keep our roots in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Father. And believe me when I say, even non-Christians know enough about Jesus to know if we're living the Word. That's why you hear people make comments like, oh, I don't want to be a Christian, they're a bunch of hypocrites. I see how they act. I see their behavior. And they're not rooted in God. They're not rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to preach it and teach it, we need to live it. Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so the scripture might be fulfilled. If you want a reprieve for Judas, folks, there it is. He was destined to be lost because had he not been lost, scripture couldn't have been fulfilled. It couldn't. God gave Jesus the disciples, all of them. But one of them was there to ensure that scripture would be fulfilled. And that would be Judas. If any of us has hate for or dislike of Judas, I want you to consider this passage. One was destined to be lost. Judas had a role to play in God's plan. It was a very critical role. This reminds me of the people who say things like, everything happens for a reason. I personally don't subscribe to that. I think there are things that happen and there's no reason. It just happens. But in this case, we are told in the Gospel of John that there was a reason for what Judas did and that it was destined to happen. But then we hear in 13, but now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to protect them. That is Jesus saying, protect my followers. Protect them. You're not coming out of the world. That's not what he's praying for. I'm not asking you, Lord, to take them out of the world, not my disciples. I want you to keep them in the world because that's how my word gets spread. That's how my work gets done. But I want you to protect them. How many of you pray to God for protection? How many of you, when you walk out this door, say, Lord, please protect me? There is a profound truth in these words. I'd like for us to look at that profound truth. Because the truth is, if we lived the gospel, and when I say that, if we were like the people of old, and we went out these doors and we were just saying, oh, I want to tell you about God, I want to tell you about God, I want to tell you about God, and we go and we go and we go, folks, we'd be hated. There'd be people saying, you're getting on my nerves. I'm tired of you being so self-righteous. I don't want to hear anymore. And what was Jesus' cure for that? He said, don't say it, live it. Then they can't do anything. What are they going to do? If you're living your life and you're living a godly life, if you're living the life that Christ has asked us to live, people are just going to say, well, I'll say this, they're living it. I know enough about Jesus to know that they're living that life. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. If our roots are in our Lord, regardless of hard times, no matter how bad things may get, we will survive and flourish. While our hearts may be broken, our souls are sustained by our God who loves us. There are other ways to die. There are other ways to die. We think of just death as you die, you're in a casket, you're gone, but there's other ways to die. You've heard me say many times, the best way for a church to die is to cling to the past. In today's world, you want to see a church die, you go around and say, we're going to do the way we did things back in the 40s and 50s. And you're going to see fewer and fewer people because the world has changed and God's word grows. And we adapt. And we begin to worship in a way that is meaningful. Let me give you an example. You may have forgotten this. When Jesus walked this earth, he went to the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes, and they said, what are you doing? We have the rules right here. We wrote them down. And this is the way we've been doing things for 1,000 years. And what did Jesus say? Open your hearts and minds. God's talking to you. And you're reading laws that you wrote. Don't follow the laws of man. Follow the laws of my Father. He speaks to us every day and he tells us this is the way it is. This is how to reach people. And some of us say, that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I did it when I was little. We say, you go on. You go on. Jesus told them, you want to kill the ministry of God? Then you just keep doing what you're doing, and you will. Our roots are in God, not in tradition. That is a fact. Jesus tells us, your roots are in God. Not in how you've done things. Not what was meaningful to you when you were little, but what's meaningful to people as they get older. So, we may look back and think of our church in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and say, oh, how I miss those days. But I can assure you, someone born in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, they have no memory of that. Your traditions are not where your roots are, Jesus said to them. Your roots are in your heavenly Father, and you must open your hearts and minds to God's leadership, not yours, not what you've written, and not what you've practiced. If change is necessary to make His ministry relevant to the world around you, then we need to change. Do we not? It's about God, not about man. From the beginning of Scripture to the end, we see change. Nothing stays the same in Scripture. Read Genesis. Then read the ministry of Jesus. It's not the same world. Things changed. They moved, and they moved, and they went from the desert to cities, and they set up cities and synagogues and temples and things they didn't have in the desert. It changed. What if someone said, let's go back in the desert. That's the way we used to do it. Put up a tent. Someone says it's too hot. There's no air conditioning. Is that what it's supposed to be? Is that's what we used to do? Or this is what we need to do? Consider this. The U.S. Standard Railroad gauge, the distance between rails, is 4 feet, 8 1/2 inches. Listen to this. Why such an odd number? because that's the way they built them in England. And American railroads were built by British expatriates. Do you know this, John? Why did the English adopt that particular gauge? Because the people who built the pre-railroad tramways used that gauge. They, in turn, were locked into that gauge because the people who built tramways used the same standards and tools they had used for building wagons, which were set on a gauge of 4 feet, 8 1/2 inches. And why were wagons built to that scale? Because with any other size, the wheels did not match the old ruts on the roads. So who built the old rutted roads? The first long-distance highways in Europe were built by Imperial Rome for the benefit of their legions. The roads have been in use ever since. The ruts were first made by Roman war chariots. 4 feet, 8 1/2 inches was the width a chariot needed to be to accommodate the rear end of 2 war horses. Talk about roots. Maybe that's the way it's always been isn't the great excuse some people believe it to be. We exist to change. When you're growing up, when you were growing up, and some of you still are, your mother adapted to your changes. When you were no longer a baby but a toddler, your mother made a change. She didn't say, no, it's always been this way. Get back in that little crib and I'm going to put a diaper on you. Then when you went from that to a teenager, which most parents are saying, oh my gosh, they change again, don't they? They change because you change. And then you become an adult. Then you get married. And everything changes. Does anyone here drive around to be with their children and grandchildren? Carters are up here. I know where they've been. We got Julia Demerson back there, and she watched a grandson get married. Change. It changes. We are called to change. Why? Because it's in our roots. Our roots are in God, and God has overseen change throughout history and has adapted to that change. And that's what we're called to do. To exist is to change. To change is to mature. To mature is to go on creating oneself endlessly while being rooted in God. So on this Mother's Day, I want to thank all the mothers for putting up with our change as we grew up. This is my second Mother's Day without my mother. I watched her change. She watched me change. We don't stay the same, folks. We get up to be grandparents and great-grandparents, and we can look back and say, nothing stays the same, including church, including the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are called to go into a world and to speak to people about our Heavenly Father, about God, in terms that they can understand today. That's why we have things like today's English Bible. That's why we now have so many versions of the Bible, it's hard to know which one to read. King James, Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, NIV. We can go on and on. The English Bible. Why? Because they're adapting to the change and trying to put it out there for people to understand that God loves them regardless of their change. From your youth to your old age, God is there. God says, you change. Let's change for the world. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you have done for us, for putting up with us in our change, for the many times that we have transitioned from one age to the next, from one way of living to the next. Our world has changed, we have changed, and you have constantly been the same, reaching out to us, loving us, and accepting us in all of our change. We give you thanks for our roots in you, God. We give you thanks for our church, for our community, for the opportunity to serve you. Be with us, guide us, and hold us in your loving arms, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.